still queuing for to indulge in cake and tea and coffee, you can continue to do that. But before time goes on much further, we'll kick off. I don't know if you've noticed, and I'm not here every week, but I've just seen the level of dynamic in worship just increase and increase and increase in this place. Anybody else notice that? And that's just a wonderful thing. You know, we sang one of the songs there. A lot of the songs were just about exalting the Lord and how He'd be lifted up in my life, in our world, and in our love. And, you know, when we worship God, it just does so much. We've got to realize just how incredibly powerful worship is. In our life, first of all, as we worship, we give to God, but we also expose the depth of our being to more of His glory entering into us. We are changed as we worship God. We are changed from one degree of glory to another as we behold Him. And the more we enter into that dynamic of real Spirit-led, Spirit-invaded worship, the more the change happens deep within us. Secondly, in our world, you know, if you watch your news, especially recently, you know, we're aware of this kind of tide of darkness and even evil in our world. And while we mustn't let that trouble, Jesus says, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but don't let that trouble you. Our job's to preach the good news to every nation. And in the midst of what we see in our world, just think about it. If God's people didn't praise and pray, how much worse, how much incredibly darker would things be? So our praise and our prayers, our worship, is something of the battle engagement that not only holds back the tide of darkness, but brings the invasion of His light and His kingdom in the world. And the third area, in our love, you know, as we just express love to God, you know something, Jesus says to His bridegroom, "You have ravished my heart with just one look of your eyes." As we gaze upon the Lord in adoring worship towards Him, we do something incredible to the heart of Jesus. I think that's almost beyond comprehension, that you and I, just gazing at Him in adoration and worship, so moves His heart that He says His heart is ravished by us. That's a good incentive just to keep worshiping. Not just here on a Sunday morning, but, you know, through our lives. Just let this increasing wave of worship that God is stirring up among us, which reaches, I think, a real kind of high point as we gather like this, but let it be something that just continues to rise up in us day after day, night after night, just letting that heart of worship, there is so much in it, so much dynamic, so much power, so much life released in and through it. Okay, we've just a bit done with the coffee break. We're in our fourth and final one of Naturally Supernatural. If you've not been here at all, other three, then I'm going to do a little bit of recap anyway. And as it goes way back to September, I'm sure you don't really remember everything that's been said. So we'll do a quick recap previously in Naturally Supernatural in a few moments. Last weekend, I was down in Brighton and doing some stuff over the weekend. But Monday morning, I had a walk with my host. He and I walked down through into the city. And as we were walking down, we engaged with a lady. She was a homeless woman, and she was just telling us a little bit of her story. We were just telling her a little bit about how God wanted to bless her and just pray for her. And as we engaged with her, she began to think about some of the things that happened in her life. And interesting, Donna was sharing her testimony. This lady had been, 9 years off drugs. But she was saying about one time in the past when she was in prison and she was going through kind of cold turkey. She was going through just a horrendous time. And she says, "I was lying in a bed in prison one night, and a man appeared at the bottom of my bed. And he walked up the side of my bed, and he kind of tucked me in very lovingly." And she says, "The withdrawal symptoms from the drugs immediately stopped and never returned." And it's amazing how many people have had some kind of supernatural encounter in their lives. And I'm not just talking about Christians here. I'm talking about people, any people. It's amazing how many people have had some sort of unexplainable act of God break into their life at some point. And they've never quite known maybe how to process it, how to express it, how to talk about it. They've maybe never felt they've had the opportunity to talk about it because folk would think they're maybe a little nuts. But But when they find somebody that clearly understands this, people express these things, and it opens up a whole area of question that allows for possibility and opportunity of God's word and God's truth and grace to come into their life. And we were just able to share with this precious woman. Her name's Betty, and she was all filled up. You know, her eyes just all filled up. You could just see her, just the Holy Spirit just on her, just begin to melt her heart. And we just shared with her about the love of Jesus for her and how that was Jesus just coming to her in whatever form that was. But just how much more does he want to do in your life? And she ended up asking my friend directions how to get to his church on Sunday, and whether she'll be there or not today, who knows. But God is at work, and there's an abundance of opportunity and possibility, because the supernatural realm of God's activity is constantly breaking in to the world, far more than we sometimes realize. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Is Jesus' opening statement at the beginning of his public ministry. So it's a really important statement. And I want to read it and just amplify the wording of it to you this morning. Mark 1:15, Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled." And what that means is we've now reached a moment of opportunity in history. Some things have come together that have created a divine opportunity for something quite amazing to happen. He says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, he's saying it's a whole new ball game. A whole new ball game has begun and everything becomes a possibility. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then he calls for a response. He says, repent. Now, what does the word repent mean? It has a kind of wide-ranging meaning, I suppose, in some ways. But you would define it maybe like this. Get God's perspective on everything. Because you see, repent is essentially a turning of the mind, a changing of how you think. Get God's perspective on everything. You see, that does deal with sin, because things that are sinful in our life, when we get God's perspective on that, we realize how harmful and destruction sin is to ourselves and to others and to the world, and we turn from our sin. But we also need to go much beyond that in repentance, where we get God's perspective on everything. We start to think as he thinks. We start to see as he sees. And everything begins to change. He says, repent and believe the good news. What is the good news? That the life-giving, redeeming, restoring rule of God is breaking in, bringing victory over demons, over disease, over death, and over destruction. That probably deserves a hallelujah. So the kingdom of God is at hand right now, right now, right here for us to take hold of. Everything's possible. And I just sense the Lord saying as we come to the end of the worship, if you've got a problem in your lung area, if you've got a problem with your breathing area, just put your hand there right now. Just put your hand over that area, because I just sense the Lord wanted to move on people's bodies in that way. I had a young man in my previous church, and I went up to him one morning just during worship. He hadn't come to the Lord at this point, but he was just coming along to worship, and I just felt the Spirit move me to go over to him, put my hand on his chest. He'd suffered from asthma all his life, really quite badly. And I just laid my hand on his chest and his back and prayed in the Spirit for a moment or two. He said he went home that day and he kind of coughed his guts up, but he's never had any problem with asthma ever since, never had to use an inhaler again or anything, and subsequently came to the Lord. So we just release the kingdom of God right here now. We declare in this place now the kingdom of God is here, the life-giving, restoring, redeeming rule of Jesus Christ is in this place. It is a present reality. It is a reality that is greater than any other reality. So we speak now to each precious one who has their hand upon their chest area right now. We speak to your body and we say to your body, receive the life-giving rule of the kingdom of God right now. Receive into your lungs, into your chest, into your breathing. Receive right now the life-giving rule of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Let airways be unlocked and unblocked. that lungs receive renewed capacity. Physical capacity of lungs increase right now under the rule of God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's do a quick recap. If Danny would just put that slide, he's got it there already. So this is what we said in very short form in the last three sessions at the start of each month. Number one, just looking at who we are new creations in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he, she is new creation. You really got to get hold of that. You're a new creation in Christ. Therefore, you have a new nature. You are not who you were. The old has gone. Say bye-bye to the old. Don't hang on to the old. No matter how much you liked it, it's not good. Let it go. Be the new. And you're now, as a new creation, you are designed to carry the Holy Spirit within you. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that hovered over chaos and brought forth creation, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you get to carry Him inside you wherever you go. Your spirit has been made alive, and your spirit is designed in a particular shape to carry with you the Holy Spirit. But that shape within you also has the potential of continually expanding and growing so you carry more of His anointing, more of His activity breaks forth from you. And so as new creations, the supernatural becomes to us natural. Because to do supernatural things for the Holy Spirit, that's just like natural, isn't it? That's what He does. So the supernatural for us becomes natural. It becomes normal. And it becomes necessary. When I say necessary, because it's a necessary outworking of having the Holy Spirit living in you. It's just, eventually it's going to happen. But you see, a lot of time what happens with us is we can resist the Holy Spirit. Or we can walk around in an unbelieving position. We believe, but there's a lot of unbelief. Or we're just not aware. We're just not tuning ourselves in and aligning ourselves with what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. We just get so caught up with life and we just think this is normal when God says there's a new normal for you. Miracles happening in and around you is normal when you're a new creation who carries the Holy Spirit within you. So that was week one. Week two, we looked through the book of Acts and we looked at the dynamics of the Spirit. What does he do? Well, what we see in the book of Acts is dreams and visions from the Holy Spirit. Prophecy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So everybody here, at one point, you're a son or you're a daughter. So everybody has the potential of prophesying. We saw in the book of Acts healings, miracles, the raising of the dead, even Philip being transported in the Spirit from one place to another. There's amazing things, some of which we've probably experienced, or a good number of us have, others that we haven't yet experienced. The thing is, there's always more. It's always more. But the key from that lesson was that these dynamics of the Spirit's activity are available to us. The book of Acts is written just as a range of examples. It doesn't contain everything that happened in the early church, just as the Gospels couldn't contain everything that Jesus did. They give examples. They give a number of incidents that we can say that's what it looks like when the Holy Spirit's activity breaks forth in a human being. It's for us. And in the third week, we looked at Jesus, His invitation to us and His challenge. He always comes with invitation. You're welcome to join me in this, Jesus says. You're welcome to participate in this great work of the kingdom, bringing the good news of the kingdom, but I'm also challenging you to participate. So He comes and invites and He challenges us. And the challenge in the passage we looked at, the feeding of the 5,000, you give them something to eat. Well, that's impossible, Lord. He says, that's great. Let's do the impossible together. You see, if we only do what we can do, where are we really going to get to? If a church only does what a church can do, and you know, it's very possible for churches to do lots of good things, lots of good works, but the Rotary Club could do it. Somebody else could do it. We need to do those things, yes, but go beyond that where we start doing what is absolutely impossible for us to do except for the power of God at work among us. Are you up for this, White Inch? Come on. Come on. And what we find with Jesus is with his disciples, he repeats a process of call, equip, and send. He calls them to himself. He calls them to follow him. He summons them to himself. He does this a number of times through the Gospels. He then equips them primarily by both teaching them, but also demonstrating while they're watching, this is how you do it. And it just must have been amazing to stand by watching Jesus open blind eyes and do it differently every time, because he did it differently every time. It must have been amazing to stand by and watch him do these things. It must have been amazing to stand there where you hear that word from his mouth, that word that carried such incredible authority, go forth and demons would scream and leave. And a crazy man who lived among the tombs is sitting clothed and in his right mind wanting to follow Jesus along the road. It must have been incredible to be there, to see that firsthand and to feel that. And then once they're equipped, not just with teaching and demonstration, but empowered with an anointing, he says, I give you authority over evil spirits and to heal diseases. Now go. Go and do the stuff. And so today, Jesus is still calling us, equipping us, and sending us. And he doesn't just do that once. You don't get a one-time call in your life, and that's it, a one-time equipping session and a one-time sending. It continues as he unfolds his greater purposes in your life. Don't limit yourself to what you felt called to now, because there's a greater calling in your life yet. And then there's a greater calling beyond that one. And each time he'll equip you further and then send you further. Maybe in distance, maybe in depth, maybe in whatever way that he chooses. And in this process, we need to move in faith through frustration into fruit. We need to move in faith through frustration into fruit. You see, frustration is something that can really get us down. Now, we can have lots of different frustrations in life, but what I'm talking about here is a frustration. Kind of a frustration with God. Can I say that? A frustration with God. A frustration that Jesus sets a standard. Here's his word. We try it, and it doesn't happen. He sets a standard and calls us and gives us a vision for something incredible, but we don't see us reaching towards that near enough. And a frustration comes in because we haven't seen the level of breakthrough that we desire for. If you've had no frustration in your work, in your walk with God, you've not had a big enough vision. If you've had no frustration, then you need to get some more vision and passion into your life with God. Because he calls us to go further, and then we go through seasons of battle, seasons of testing, seasons of struggle, seasons where we will feel a frustration. But we need to learn to turn that frustration into a celebration of God's intention for us. Because God is calling you to more, because he's calling you and set you apart for greater things, you will feel this time of frustration as you move towards that. But instead of letting frustration get you down, turn it into a celebration and see that the frustration in your heart and spirit is because you're believing for so much more. It's because you're desiring more than you're already seeing. When we look around Scotland, are you not frustrated? You know, there's a verse in Mark I read the other day in my devotions, and it says that when Jesus came down the mountain, it says, when the people saw him, they were utterly amazed, and everyone ran to him. I long to see that in Glasgow. I long to see that in Scotland, that people would see Jesus, they'd be so utterly amazed that they'd be running towards him. Coming out of their houses, coming out of the football stadiums, coming out of the bingo, coming out of wherever, and running to Jesus. Come on, that's not what we want to see. And so, there's got to be a little bit of frustration because that's not yet happening. And as we pray into it, and as we believe for such a day of awakening and revival gripping our land, we work through that frustration into God's greater intentions, God's greater works that he has for every one of us. So what's something of the process that we walk through for this? We'll put up the next slide, Danny. Living in the flow of the Holy Spirit. So here's just five things that you can build into your life if you're not already building these sort of things in. Five things you can build in to really get in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Number one, behold Jesus Christ. Everything's about Jesus, isn't it? Everything is about Jesus. He is the author, the finisher of our faith. He is the one our eyes are upon. And we need to behold him in a way. You see, the word behold, I like that word. It's a kind of oldish word, but it's a good word because it means something more than just see or look at. You know, you can look at something, just glance and look away. You can see something, but to behold, it kind of means to fix your gaze, to get set upon. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the risen one. Behold the Lamb upon the throne. Behold him in his glory and his majesty. Behold him as the man, Christ Jesus, who walked upon the earth. Behold the miracles he did. Behold the words he spoke. Just behold who he is in his magnificence. And as we behold him, we are just increasingly impressed by Jesus. And as we're impressed by him, he makes his impression upon us. Behold Jesus Christ. Take time every day just to adore the Lord Jesus. Just to adore the Lamb upon the throne. Just to worship him. Behold Christ Jesus. And number two, know who you are in relationship with him. It's the only way to know who you really are is in relationship with God. So most people don't really know who they are. They maybe think they do, but they don't really know who they are because ultimately we are created by God, for God. Everything's for him. And so until you find relationship with him, you don't really know who you are. But we have this privilege in Christ Jesus of knowing who we are in relationship with him. Jesus Christ defines who we are. And maybe through your life, other people, things of this world, all sorts of things have sought to squeeze you into a mold and tell you who you are, what you can do and what you certainly can't do. And Jesus comes and liberates us from that mold and says, let me define who you are. Let me stretch those boundaries around your life into my divine intentions for you. And speak to the new creation. Do that to yourself and do that to one another. Speak to the new creation. The old has gone. Speak to the new. You know, that's why prophecy is such a wonderful gift. Because when people prophesy, they're speaking to the new creation in a person. They're speaking to the possibilities that lie before us as new creations. You know, as we've traveled in many places and I've heard Helen prophesy over hundreds and hundreds of people, and I've never heard her speak negatively to a person in prophecy. Every prophetic word is pulling somebody up and out into the greater that they are as a new creation. So speak to one another. Look, you know, I would get us to do this, but I think I might embarrass some folk, and I don't like doing that, so I'm not going to do that just now. But I want you to begin to maybe do this more and more as you feel able to. And that is, when you talk to each other, look at somebody as a fellow believer. Look at them, and look at them and consciously say to yourself, this person I'm looking at is a new creation in Christ Jesus, being created into the likeness of Christ. And begin to speak to that new creation that you're seeing. Begin to call forth the greater things. You don't have to get funny feelings and feel, oh, I'm prophesying. Just speak words of encouragement. It's prophetic, but it's also very natural. Speak to the new creation. Because there's enough people try and speak to the old and pull us back into it. Remind you of the way you were. No, forget that. Because that life is not just in the past. That life is dead. And I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Number three, realize, increasingly realize, what becomes possible in this union of you as a new creation with Christ Jesus. This union of Christ, you and Christ, this abiding in Him. What becomes possible? Number four, receive and take hold of the fullness of the Spirit. So we receive the Spirit as a gift. We receive the Spirit by grace, but you also have to take hold of a gift. We can't be all passive here. We've got to take hold. Take hold of the fullness of the Spirit. Seek after. Go after. Pursue. Grab hold of. Call out to God. Let desire rise up in your heart when you pray. Let desire rise up. Sometimes our desires have been so quashed, so pushed down. Sometimes we felt that, you know, we shouldn't get too enthusiastic. You know, that's the most ridiculous thing to say to a Christian. Because the word enthusiasm, the root of that word, it means entheos, which means in God. So if you're enthusiastic, it's like life in God gets all kind of exciting. And you become enthusiastic. So for somebody to come into church and say, oh, we shouldn't be too enthusiastic in church, it's just so ridiculous. It's an absolute contradiction. So allow a little bit more enthusiasm to bubble up. Allow desire, because the Holy Spirit's put desire in you. There is a desire in you to know Christ Jesus more and more. Just let it live. Let it rise up. Let it come to the surface. Let it be expressed. So that when we're taking hold of, we're reaching out just in the place of prayer, saying, Lord, I've got to have more of this fullness of your Spirit. You know, every time I've prayed over somebody and nothing's really happened or nothing's appeared to happen, the cry in my heart is, Lord, I don't want to do that ever again like that. I want to move in your power because I know it's available. I know it's in my calling. I know it's for me as a new creation in Christ. So I got to have that. And I'm not going to settle for less. Take hold. And then simply number five, just overflow. You see, there is a passion and the taking hold, but it's not hard work. We're not going to win the world through hard work. We're not going to win the world through clever ideas. We're not going to win the world through, you know, kind of smart things. We're going to win the world by just getting so filled with Christ Jesus and His Spirit, so realizing what the possibilities of that union is, so full of His Spirit and moving in His anointing, and then just letting it spill out. Be who you are. Be who you really are as a new creation. And when you go to work, or when you go to the shops, or when you're in your home, or wherever you're around other folks who don't yet know Jesus, just overflow. Don't feel you have to get all uptight. I've got to try and say this. Just let the Spirit fill you, and let him come out a bit. Just let a little bit spill over. It goes a long way. See, here's two action points in the next slide. Just two action points. A number of things you can maybe grab hold of today. But here's just two things I'd encourage you to really do. Number one, as Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. God has made these available for us. They are tools to build the church and for mission. So eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. He doesn't say, as some folk have said to me sometimes as I've prayed with them, oh, well, if God wants to give me tongues, then yeah, I'm open to that. You know, if He wants to give me it. If God maybe wants to give me a gift for healing or I'd take that if He gives me. You know, and there's this kind of, oh, yeah, well, maybe, you know, if He wants. Of course He wants. Of course He wants. Do you think God looks down at His church and says, I'll let one or two folk do some healing, but most of them I don't want them healing anyway? Of course not. God wants to bring healing and liberation and freedom into the world. He wants to touch life after life after life. So He wants to anoint every one of you. And He says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. He doesn't just say desire them. That would be a step up for some people. He says eagerly. Eagerly desire them. Like a starving person eagerly desiring some food. Like somebody who's been walking the desert for 3 days eagerly desiring a drink of water. Eagerly desire. Go after. Pursue. Focus.
the gifts of His Spirit, and even the gifts you've already got and move in, that you'd grow sharper in those. Let's never get complacent. Let's grow sharper. And the second one, make room for the miraculous. Think about what that might mean in your life. Think about what that might look like in your week. Think what that might look like for us as a church when we do things together, when we gather together, whether it's in worship or whether it's in the food bank or whether it's doing this, that, or the next thing. Just whatever we do, wherever we are, what does it mean to make room for the miraculous? What does that look like in your life for the Holy Spirit's presence and activity to be happening? A number of years ago, just around New Year, I was out just walking and praying and asking God, what was your kind of word to us? And I believe the Holy Spirit said this little phrase to me. He said, I want to move you from an exploration of the miraculous into an explosion of the miraculous. We haven't got there yet. I think we've still been exploring. And I believe God wants to bring an explosion of the miraculous. Not for the sake of it, not to give us a buzz. Because the world needs to see. It's because of the miracles He did with Jesus' life that people saw Him and were utterly amazed and ran to Him. And I want to see an explosion of the miraculous in the church here, right here. In this city, in this nation. I want to see it in the nations. I want to see it everywhere. That people in every town and every city will be running, utterly amazed, running to Jesus. So let's make room for the miraculous. You can make room for the miraculous in your life. Sometimes it's just in little ways, little things. But they can only happen because God was active, because God was doing something. Sometimes it can be in big, spectacular ways. There's nothing wrong with the spectacular when it's for purpose. But think what it might look like in your life, making room for the miraculous. And then finally, we're just going to finish with this prayer. We pray some prayers. We're a little intercession group in the church, and we pray some prayers. We pray prayers every month. We pray biblical prayers, and God answers them. How do I know He answers them? Because He wrote them. The Holy Spirit inspired them. So if we pray them, He's going to answer them. And we see them answering. Iris told me the other day that she sees the Holy Spirit answering these prayers. She sees it in the evidence of people's lives in the church. And over the next couple of months, we're just going to start to pray the ones that really focuses out on mission. We're praying to the Lord of the harvest, as Jesus told us to send out workers into His harvest field. Jesus wants to release us into the harvest field. Sometimes as Christians, we're busy doing some stuff, but it's not really harvest stuff. He really wants to release us into the harvest field. And this other great prayer of Acts chapter 4, 29, 30. And the context of that is in verse 18 of Acts 4, where Peter and John, having healed a lame man and preached to a great crowd and seen thousands respond to the Lord, are arrested and told by the religious rulers that they must not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. That threat did not work. And that threat continues today. In fact, I see it manifesting stronger today. A spiritual force that is trying to silence God's people. That's trying to take away from us a sense that we've got something to say. A sense that we've got any right to say that. It's trying to bring a silencing of the sharpness of the good news of the kingdom of God. And we need to respond like these guys did. They got together and they prayed and they said, Father, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness while you stretch out your hand to do miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now, if you can feel that kind of threat that is at work in our world today to silence us as God's people, don't succumb to that for a second. You've got good news to share. I mean, we're not pushing religion on people. And don't let folk make you think that's what we're doing. We're not pushing religion on people. We're just telling people good news. That Jesus rose from the dead. That death has been defeated. That you can have eternal life. I mean, it's good news. There's lots and lots of good news. It's incredibly relevant to every human being on earth. It's what people are actually longing to hear. So let's not be silent, but let's, with a boldness, a clarity, a freedom, which that word means, speak the good news. But they understood it needed to be accompanied by something, and that was miracles, signs, and wonders. Because it's that that engages with people. It's that that opens up the questions and the opportunities. You know, the first preaching in the book of Acts was in response to questions. It's really good to answer questions that people are asking instead of trying to tell them something that they're not asking about. And what happens in the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit comes and they all begin to speak in these other languages. And the people say, whatever does this mean? So God wants to do strange things at times to get people thinking and asking, whatever does this mean? And Peter begins to speak and says, this is that which the prophet Joel prophesied, and so on, you know the sermon. And at the end of that, the people cry out, what must we do? And if we can get people asking, what does this mean? And what must I do in response to what God is doing? That's the questions we need to hear. That's the answers we need to give. And so, going back to my lady in Brighton, whatever did it mean for a man to appear in her prison cell and tuck her in her bed and for her drug withdrawals to immediately stop? Whatever does it mean? It means that Jesus loves you. It means that God wants to set you free. It means that he's there for you. It means that even in that dark and lonely place and desperate place you were in, he was right there for you. And it means he wants to do an awful lot more in your life yet. So the next question, well, what must I do in response to that? Just give him your heart. Give him your life. Let him have his way in you. Realize that he can do a much better job. You know, she said to us, our son of 16 had been involved in an incident. He'd killed someone and had been sentenced to life imprisonment at 16 years of age. She told us just one or two things about her life, and she said, my life is just completely, she used a bad word after that. And what does it mean? What does she need to do? Well, she needs to just surrender her life to Jesus, because her life had been really messed up. But let's see what he wants to do with it. Let's see what he wants to make of it. The reason we need to start moving in the supernatural, in a natural, normal, and necessary way, is to stir up the opportunities and raise the possibilities where people ask these questions. What on earth does that mean? And what must I do in response to this God whose kingdom is breaking in on the earth? Why don't we stand up? Let's just begin to respond to him. Just even one thing I said today that's just touched and grabbed hold of your heart, that you've just caught something from, just begin to take that now as a prayer before the Lord. Just begin to ask him for something. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Sharpen the gifts within you, making room for the miraculous. Just taking hold of the greater fullness of the experiences of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, just begin to say, Lord, I desire, I want more, because there's greater things for you. Come, Lord Jesus. Awaken us more fully by your Spirit. Release your activation within us. Kiraba sundaraba sharaba kariya. Ribakida shakara makara masumpara. Rikondele pushanda la basinde. Sundala masharaba kariya. Thank you, Jesus, is more. Greater things. Greater things.